One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Have your Bible turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16, please. This is a tremendous chapter. And the Lord's going to say some very plain and sweet and wonderful things to us. The Bible is a book of revelation, of truth. All it's got in it is truth. And it condemns error. This is the book about Jesus. That's the primary subject of the Bible. It's all about Jesus. One man is the central theme of the Bible. His name is Jesus. He came to save. It's a book of salvation. And the revelation always reveals the salvation. Everything from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation has to do with people being saved. That's it. And that's all I ministered in this morning. I thought as I walked up here and as I took around my Sunday morning walk this morning, I was just thinking, and when I came by the building, I'm the biggest crook on the face of this earth. And I'm the biggest imposter unless we get people saved. I mean, I'm wasting money. Did you know that? If somebody's not saved. I mean, this is a fake. This is absolutely false. If we're not getting immortal souls saved, but let me tell you something, it's our business to get them saved. And I'm not going to ever be content until we get all of you saved, and never will. We met new ones this week. All you need is salvation. And so we're going to hand it to you the best we can in love, and we want you to be saved. You ready? We're talking about stewardship and talking about if. When he said also to his disciples, verse 1, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. The same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. He'd wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. We're going to reckon up today. Give an account of thy stewardship. And if it's not a good account, you won't be steward any longer. Brother, that's a serious verse. Did you know if God puts something in your hand and you're not willing to exercise it for his glory, he can take it just like that and kick you out of the stewardship. I mean, that theme goes through the entire New Testament and through the Old Testament. For instance, there was a man by the name of Saul, and God sent Samuel over there, his oil man, and said, put the oil on him. Put the oil on him. He's faithful. I mean, he's been looking for the donkeys that are lost and the animals that are lost, and he's doing what his dad told him. Now get over there and put the oil on him so you're going to be the first king. And so he came into a tremendous stewardship. He was the head of the kingdom of God on earth. I mean, so far as the people were concerned, the human side of it. He was head of that thing. He was the first king. The first king. He had tremendous response. I mean, people, they bowed to him and scraped to him and honored him, and armies marched at his command, and victory was his. But there came a day when he was an unfaithful steward. He was an unfaithful. He exercised authority that wasn't his, and God said, out of the stewardship. He rejected the word of God. Listen, did you know that we're primarily stewards of this book? Did you know that's my main stewardship right here? I'm to look after that book. I'm to deliver that book. I'm to live that book. I mean, I'm to practice this book. That's your main. And listen, it's not just for the preacher. That's for every person that ever accepts Jesus Christ, the living word. He's to walk in the written word from then on. He's to be a steward of the word of God. It's your business as much as it is mine to get this book out to the people. When we get the word to the people, then God's going to convict them of sin. They'll get saved. And then when they get the word of God and they walk in the truth and in the light. Oh, I tell you, last night was a sweet night. I mean, my soul was blessed last night. I feel sorry for anybody that missed what we had here last night. I mean, God came into this building last night. He blessed some people. I tell you, people came to me and threw their arms around me. I'm telling you the truth. Just a few weeks ago, they'd have run from me. But last night, something Jesus did, they said, I've been saved. I've been saved. I've been saved. They didn't have to say that. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that's the most encouraging word we ever get. I've been saved. I have been redeemed by the grace of God. And life will be different when you're saved. And so he said, I want you to give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said unto him, or said within himself, what shall I do? What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. Wonder why I couldn't dig. I wonder. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Now then, this is what he said I'm going to do. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. And write 50. Now this is a puzzling chapter. This is one of the most difficult chapters to try to figure out, and yet the Lord has an answer. Then said he to another, How much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. Now that's 80. He knocked off 20. He divided the other 50%, half of it. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Had he really? He had done wisely. Now notice, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now you know he's talking about, don't you? He was a child of this world. He said, I cannot get out and starve to death. I'm not going to work for a living. I'm not going to work for a living. And he said, I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to the people with whom I did business for somebody else. That wasn't his goods. That didn't belong to him. But he went to them and said, Say, I tell you what I'll do. I'll settle with you if you'll give me 50% of what you owe. You'll just give me 50% of what you owe. And he said, if you owe 100 measures of wheat, if you'll just give me 80 measures of wheat, that'll be just, we'll count your debt settled. See? And the people didn't know he'd been fired. They didn't know that he lost his job because he was unfaithful steward. He hadn't looked after the rich man's business. And he got kicked out of the stewardship, and so he came. Now then, you get the verse now? He said, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Now you know who the children of light are? Have to be the Christians, wouldn't it? Be the Christians. You say, well, I don't understand that, brother. Well, it looked to me like we ought to be wiser. That's right. That's just exactly what he's driving at, too. We ought to be wiser than that whole push put together. I mean, why in the world would we let the devil spread? You'd say, what are you talking about, brother? Well, here's a man up here, and he's in business. He goes day and night. I mean, he goes day and night. I mean, he wrecks his health. He wrecks his life. He dies 15 years early. He dies with a heart attack because he's living under such pressure going after money, and he's choked the money out of this one and that one and the other one, but he got what he went after. He got the world's goods. He was wiser than the children of light. We don't do that. We don't go after souls. We don't go after goods like that, do we? You'd say, well, what's the goods? Souls. Souls. And so we let the world go after things they want a lot more than we do. For instance, look at a man that gets on liquor. You know what he does? Why, he'll walk, steal, cheats. He'll lie. Woman called me this morning at midnight. Ms. Roloff came in there and she said, it's an emergency message. And so I got on the line midnight or something like that. And she said, I want to talk to you. I said, you're on dope. I said, you're dope. She said, I'm not. I said, you're lying. I said, I've known you. A lady, a woman, and she's given up everything for her dope. And now then, I never did convince her, but I knew she was on dope. I called her pastor this morning, and sure enough, they'll do anything but get off of dope or liquor. They got to have it. They say, I'm going to, and they'll lie about it. Poor, miserable thing that she is. Oh, I tell you, but she's a child of this world, and she knows where to get the dope. She knows where to get the dope, and she gets it. And she doesn't make any difference who she hurts, what she does. I mean, I'm going to. The children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Talk about smooth, slick operators. They know how to get it, and they're going to get it. It doesn't make any difference what happens. I'm going to have to have what I want, the children of this world. That man went out of the stewardship, and he said, I know one thing. I'm not going to go back to working for a living. I'm certainly not going to go out and get me a ditch digging job. He said, to dig, I cannot dig. I will not dig. In other words, I guess hippie language, he said, I won't dig that. No, sir. And so he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to all the people that I did business with while I was the steward of the rich man, and he'll never know it anyhow, and I'm going to get me some money, and I'm going to get it the easy way. And so he just went to knocking on the door. And he got to settling the bill. You know, it reminds me when I was called to preach. I went to Dr. K.H. Ainsworth, and Dr. Ainsworth told me, he said, now, preacher, or he said, Lester Roloff, He said, you'll never preach. You'll never be able to preach. Dr. K. Chainsworth, one of the greatest surgeons in Central Texas, in Waco, Texas. And he was known as the greatest surgeon. He sat there and I sat in his office. I tell you, you talk about throwing the cold water in my face. He said, you'll never make it. He said, you'll never make it. And I said, well, I had to say something. I mean, I had to either do or don't. And I said, Dr. Ainsworth, I believe the Lord knows more about me than you do. And even though he knew I was a sickly boy, but he said, you won't ever make it. But he said, I tell you what, he said, I've got a lot of people that owe me a lot of money. And he said, would you like to go collect it for me? Well, now, can you imagine a greenhorn country boy going to collect anything? And I said, well, he said, now, these old bills are stale. He said, they're stale. Said, this operations I did 5-10 years ago. And he said, they owe me $100, $150. And said, would you like to tackle this? And said, you go out and just collect it and bring it in. Now then, I had my opportunity, didn't I? And I accepted it. I said, yep. I said, I certainly will. That's some job for me. And so I took off, and nearly all of them were on the farm. They're just country people. I remember going out in the cotton patches, and a wife would be picking cotton, her husband would be picking along there, and I'd walk up to them, you know, and I had on my little old cheap John suit, and my shoes were shined, and I walked up to them, and I said, I'm Lester Roloff, and I represent Dr. K. H. Ainsworth. Oh. And they told me the saddest stories you've ever heard. Really, that just melted my heart. They said, you know, we've wanted to pay that so long. Oh, we wanted to pay it. Said, we've had such a hard time. And said, you can tell we don't have anything. And I tell you, the Lord gave me I said, how much do you owe? And they said, our hospital bill's about $120. I said, well, could you pay, say, $30 or $40 or $50 of it? Oh, they said, yes, Brother Roloff said, I mean, Mr. Roloff said, we can rake up that. Said, we're picking cotton. We're gonna gin some cotton off. I said, well, I tell you what, he just kind of turned this over to me. And I'll just take whatever you can pay, and I'll just mark it paid in full, and I'll take the money to him. See, he didn't expect to get anything in there. And I'm telling you, I took in a flock of money to him. I took in a flock. Now, that's sort of like this, wasn't it? Now, you know what? When I went in and started taking those old, dead, stale bills and money, I mean, I'd take a sack of money into him. And he said, really? He couldn't imagine, see? Well, the Lord gave me a little wisdom. And then what a blessing I got out of it. I mean, see, that's back in the days when people wanted to be honest. Now, then, they don't care. I mean, they just don't care. But I'd go out, and they thought I'd done them the biggest favor, and they'd just write out a check or get me the money and say, I tell you, said, this is such a load off of us to think that we'll have our hospital bill paid that we've owed for 10 years. See, they still won't pay it. Now then, he said, you better give an account of your stewardship. You may not be steward any longer. Now then, let's go a little further. He said, the children of this world are in their generation. Now, wait a minute. We better not overlook that. In their generation, what about all them generations to come? Oh, brother, what about that eternal generation? They missed it there, didn't they? See, the devil's crowd are just wise in their own generation. That, when that's over, they've had it. I don't want to be like that, do you? Because this generation don't amount to nothing. But I tell you, it's that next generation I want to get in on. I mean, it's that eternal generation. It's that immortal. I mean, I want to be in heaven, and I'm going to be by the grace of God. And so I'm thinking about that regeneration crowd. All right. Verse 9, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. All right. We're coming up to the text now. This second message for the radio friends. Notice, he said, make to yourselves friends of the mammon. Now skip to the 13th verse, and we'll get all the intervening verses in a moment. You cannot serve God and mammon. But I've got a thought that just bounced into my mind. I praise the Lord. He didn't say you cannot serve God with mammon, but he said you cannot serve God and mammon. You know what mammon is? Let me just call it. It's M-O-N-E-Y, money, or worldly things. That's what it is. That's mammon. The mammon of this world. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the thing the average person has not learned is that you can serve God with mammon. But money makes a tremendous servant, but a horrible master. And when you master money, you've won your greatest victory down here, so far as your stewardship is concerned. But when money masters you, the devil has won his most signal victory in your life. You know, a lot of people think that it's just rich people that are selfish. Well, I know some poor people are so selfish. I mean, so tight and stingy and miserable. I mean, I know of husbands that fuss and fight about the grocery bill. I know of, well, I imagine in years I've been on the radio, I've gotten at least 3,000, 4,000, maybe 5,000 letters from women that said, Brother Roloff, the only way I could ever give to the cause of Christ is just somehow to save a little out of the grocery money. Oh, don't you send me a receipt. If my husband knew that I was sending you a dollar for the girls and boys and men and women that you're working with, why, he'd flog me. Why, listen, he'd whip me. I'd be afraid. I want to drop a bomb right in the middle of a bunch of old ungodly men like that, and I hope you're tuned in. I really do. I just hope a bunch of you outfits that are so tight you squeak when you walk and go under the gates to save the hinges. I want to tell you something right now, buddy. You just get this right out of the Word of God. I believe that every wife ought to have the privilege of giving at least 10% of half all her husband makes. Now, let him do what he wants to with this, but I believe. Now, of course, that's just not a very big statement for me to make. It might used to be. But, for instance, if a man were to make $1,000 a month, I believe that she ought to have 10% of $500. That'd be $50 every month she could give. Now, that ought to give her a good deal of joy. But can you imagine a fellow making $1,000 a month and never giving a dime to the Lord? He's going to lose his stewardship. He'll be kicked completely out one of these days. And I cannot imagine. Of course, I can't imagine anybody making $1,000 a month and giving only $100 a month to the Lord. I mean, it seems to me that somebody's a bad businessman that would take $900 to operate his own business, as small as that is, and just give $100 to operate God's business, as big as that is. I can't understand a businessman like that. And, of course, they've never learned the secret of giving. You've never learned, and you'll never prosper very much, I mean spiritually, until you've learned how to say, Lord, I'm not just interested in a tenth. All I have belongs to God. Now then, tell me, not how little can I give, but how little can I keep and still get by? That's what we ought to be thinking about. Not because we need something. I know we need a lot of things, but God knows all about that. But we need to give. We need to learn how to give. And this is a great chapter on giving. And I want to show you what the next verse says now. If, there it is. That's that if I was telling you about. If ye, that's it. If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, we better kind of piece this thing together. Who is that other man? I need to get introduced to that other man, don't you? If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who is that rich man we talk about? The Bible said a rich man had a steward. And he told him, he said, look here, I'm going to turn this over to you now and be a good steward. And he said, it's rumored that you've not been faithful. And he said, I believe I better call you in and we'll audit these books. Brother, that's going to be the sad day, isn't it, when the auditor comes through. I mean, when the eternal revenue agent comes through. Not the internal, but the eternal. Oh, brother. And I tell you, I'm just going to raise up my hand now and plead guilty to making some mistakes along the way. He knows it. Lord, have mercy upon me. I've got my heart so burdened now from friends I've sought to help. I guess I was a bad steward. But I didn't do it for any money. I'll promise you that. I didn't do it for any money. I never have been in business on the side. I never will be. I've had every kind of lucrative offer you could ever offer. If I could just kind of work with them, and if I could endorse this and endorse that and let them do this to endow our ministry. One man said $300,000. Brother Wolf, I can raise you just like that. And I just said, oh, listen, let me pray about this thing. Monday morning, he was in my office time I was. And he's right here in town, great businessman. And he said, Brother Wolf, are you ready now just to give me your consent and you can sign this little document? And I want to do something for your work. And that makes it hard, you know. When somebody said, I'm burdened about your work, you're doing a tremendous work. And I believe if you'd sign this, I'll get you $300,000. And God said, no. You're not going after it like that. You're living by faith, son. You're not going to have a representative to go out and talk to people and so forth. And I said, you know what he did? Proved that he wasn't the right kind. He got mad. Of course, he thought I was a sorry businessman. He really did. He said, I can't understand. I've offered my services to you and to your work. And that's back where I guarantee you we were just barely breathing. But the Lord said, no, it cannot and it never will be like that. And so, he said, no man can serve two masters. You can't serve two. If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's. Now, let's get a good picture. You know who the other man is? I tell you who he is. That's Jesus. He's the rich man. You know, the richest man that I know in the world is Jesus Christ. He was rich when he was here. The Bible said he became poor, but the Bible said he was rich. But I believe he was the richest poor man that ever lived. Amen? You think of Jesus Christ that could just see 10 lepers over there across the fence and run over there and kind of put his arm around them, pat them on the shoulder, and they said, "Ooh, you better look out. You'll get our leprosy." He said, "No, I won't get your leprosy. Fact is, you can get rid of it yourself." Amen? I call that rich, wouldn't you? How'd you like to walk up to a cancer hall, you know, an MD Anderson Foundation hospital and go in there and say, "All right, everybody's got cancer, come around." And all them old cancer patients come, you can smell them for 3 blocks, and the old flesh is being decayed and rotten on the inside. And they come up, you know, and the old eyes are out, and the old cheeks are eating, the nose is eating all down in the hole. Can you imagine that? And walk up to them and said, "Well, got good news for you. All of you going to be well within 60 seconds from right now." And all of a sudden, you see them old noses grow out again, and you see the flesh come back, and eyeballs get straightened out. Huh? I think he's the richest man ever lived, even though he's poor. He didn't have a dime in his pocket. Didn't even have enough to buy something to eat with. Didn't even have a place to get a motel. Didn't have enough money to rent a motel. Had to sleep out in the grass under the trees. He's the richest poor man that ever lived. You say, "I'm just poor." You can be a rich poor person, though. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I tell you, we need, and he's the rich man. Now, I'm his steward. I'm his steward. I'm in business. Oh, what a challenge. I'm in business with him. My dear brother, if you gave me $100 billion, it would never faze me so far as our conviction is concerned. The day that Lester Roloff has to compromise his convictions, I'm through. And you are too. Bunch of compromising, strangy, backbone outfits in this country. We'll never change young people until we stand for Jesus and his word. You didn't accidentally come in here. God's got something for you. And he wants you to, he said, if ye, notice, this is a tremendous verse. He said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And brother, that's the secret right there. You know why a lot of people don't have much? They haven't been faithful in least. God's never going to give you very much because he can't trust you. I'm going to make a confession. And I tell you what, I know the Lord knows my heart. I've been praying for years the Lord could bring me to the place where he could trust me. Isn't it pitiful that the Lord has never been able to trust me with as much as I've asked him for?
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.